Playing in my pussy with my fingers. See how juicy Abigail is? Anthony laughed. You and your dumbass nicknames for your pussy. Every time you come through, you name her something different. Who the fuck is Abigail? Abigail Adams, wife of the second president of the United States, John Adams. Mother of John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States. Mother of six, and if I want to call my cooter Abigail, then you need to shut the fuck up about it. You're so mean, but you're smart. I love your bedroom trivia facts. Anthony climbed on top of me, butt-ass naked, and started sucking on my breasts. And I love these. I glanced at the alarm clock on his nightstand. It was already 5. Where are the condoms? I asked. That's enough foreplay. Anthony sat up on his elbow and stared at me. Listen, this is getting kind of old for me. I gazed into his eyes and then down at his rock-hard 8-inch dick with a 5-inch circumference. Yeah, I had measured that Billy with a tape measure before. Doesn't look like Marcus Junius Brutus is getting tired of fucking me. Anthony couldn't help but chuckle. I'm not even going to ask. Marcus Junius Brutus, the Roman politician and traitor who conspired to kill Julius Caesar and then later committed suicide? I grabbed hold of his dick and started giving him a hand job. Pre-cum was already leaking from the head. Yes, your dick has betrayed you. You may want to holler at him about that after I leave for dinner. Do you have a dinner appointment or a dinner date? Oh, hell to the no. You're going to question me, I thought. Since you feel the need to keep asking me the same irrelevant question, I'll simply say that it's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. You want to fuck me but date someone else? That's some crazy ass shit. I've always been good to you, Gemistry. At least I've tried. You're the one who insisted on making this all about fucking. I sighed. Anthony, not to offend, but you're beginning to sound like a side chick. You need to stay in your lane and continue to accept the role you signed up for. We agreed to be fuck buddies, so when I'm horny, I come over here to fuck you. He sighed like he was mad, but the Negro was fingering my pussy at the same time. He was weak for my snapper, and he understood it. I don't disrespect you or come over here unannounced, I continued. I already told you. When and if you meet a woman you want to commit to, simply tell me and it's over. I'll go cold turkey off your dick. Now, do you want me to leave or are you going to break out the condom so we can have a party? Anthony got a condom out of his nightstand and ripped it open with his teeth. I put it on with my mouth and sucked him off for a few moments. Winsome was wrong. I did suck dick with condoms, but she was right about the dental damn thing. There was no way that I was serving up pussy through plastic. I sucked on him until he was about to explode in the condom and then stopped. Lie down on the bed, I ordered. I thought you wanted me to hit it from the back, he said. Just do what the fuck I say. He laughed. Look at you. Trying to go gangster. I am gangster. I pushed him down on the bed. You're moving too damn slow. What you gonna do? Ride this dick? Yeah, I'm going to ride it until you bust wide open like my little bitch. Now spread your fucking legs. Anthony looked shocked.
Spread my legs?
Just do it. I picked up his left leg and tossed it to the side. Then I climbed on top of him, put my left leg between his legs behind me, and placed my right leg on the outside of his right arm with my foot up by his head. Then I went to town on the dick and got my workout on at the same time. Anthony started panting, gasping, and sweating. You like this pussy? I asked. Tell me how much you love this pussy.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
He managed to get out between trying to navigate my hips up and down and lift his bottom half to pound up into me.
You love this dick?
I didn't respond, fucking with his ego.
You love this dick? He asked again.
It's mediocre, I finally said. You're still a rookie in training, but you're improving. He laughed.
I'm gonna put you over my knee and spank you after I get this nut out.
You better not bust too quick or that's your ass.
You talk more shit than...
Anthony couldn't even get the remainder of his sentence out because I started grinding and pounding harder on his dick at the same time while I dug my nails into his chest. I caught my rhythm and he completely lost it then. I talk shit because I can back my shit up, I said, starting to lose my senses as well as I tightened my pussy around his dick and squeezed. People always ask what the benefit of dildos is over vibrators. It is not about the fact that vibrators work on batteries and do most of the work. It is about the fact that dildos are more lifelike and make the people using them learn how to do most of the work. Most chicks never figure that shit out, and that's why they lie there and wait for the men to bang them out instead of truly knowing how to blow some minds. I tightened up on Anthony's dick even more. Yeah, boy, this is how a pro rides a damn dick. You like that? You feeling me? Anthony couldn't even speak at that point. I could feel his body convulsing and knew the bastard was about to come too damn fast. I hopped off his dick and sat beside him on the bed. He looked to the side and glared at me, then down at his dick.
What the fuck are you doing?
You're not pulling that 3-minute shit with me. I'm waiting for you to calm down a bit, and then I might let you have some more of Abigail's brown pudding. Anthony sighed and started playing with his dick.
Gemistry, you're a cold piece of work. How you gonna stop fucking me right before I nut? And it wasn't no 3 damn minutes either.
It really wasn't even about Anthony and his sexual skills. For some ridiculous reason, I was sitting there, naked and covered with his sweat, feeling guilty over the fact that Tevin probably was in an operating room at the moment, saving someone's life, while I was continuing to fuck mine up by screwing a man that I didn't even want to have a decent conversation with.
Gemistry?
Anthony was getting angry.
Gemistry, are you for real?
He was right. I was being shisty, shitty, and straight up stank. I climbed over him, stacked 2 of his pillows, and laid over them, positioning my ass up in the air. Come get this. Anthony didn't hesitate as he grabbed the sides of my hips, maneuvered his dick into me, and went about his business. It was crazy. I had it all figured out. I was going to be a stone-faced, heartless, bitter woman for the rest of my life, fuck a couple of men when I felt like it, who could be trusted not to be throwing their dicks all over the city every night, and concentrate on my career. Now Tevin had entered my world and was about to throw a monkey wrench into all of my plans. Anthony grabbed my ass cheeks and started slapping the right one. He was saying some dirty shit, but I drowned it all out. All I could see was Tevin's face, remember his words from the night before and earlier that day, and wonder to myself, could he be for real? Chapter 6. A man is already halfway in love with any woman who listens to him. Brendan Francis. When I arrived at Ocean Air, Tevin was already waiting for me in a booth. My pussy had served as a sleeping pill for Anthony, so I left him knocked out on the bed. After I took a shower and redressed, I laid 2 20s on his pillow as a joke. It would piss him off when he woke up, but I truly didn't appreciate how he had come at me, trying to change the rules in the middle of a situationship that we had both agreed on. I had been coining my connections with men as situationships for quite some time. They definitely would not classify as relationships in the old-fashioned sense. Tevin stood as I approached, He was so fine that I felt weak in the knees. He had on a navy pinstripe suit with a white shirt and red tie.
Hey, Chemistry. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for the invite. I gave him a soft hug. His cologne aroused me, and then sat down in the booth.
I noticed that you are a martini fan, but I thought you might enjoy some wine this evening.
He sat back down and placed his napkin across his lap.
I took the liberty of ordering a bottle of cake bread.
I grinned and put my napkin on my lap. Not sure what that is, but it sounds interesting. Is it wine that tastes like cake?
You're a funny woman.
He took my hand, and my first instinct was to pull it away. But that would have been rude. Holding hands was romantic. I had been avoiding romance like the bubonic plague.
Cake bread is a Cabernet Sauvignon from the Napa Valley.
That didn't make it much better. I don't know what a Cabernet Sauvignon is either.
We both laughed. You look beautiful today.
Damn, he's saying too many of the right things.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
He let go of my hand, thank goodness, and then picked up his menu.
While we wait for the wine, do you want to decide on dinner?
I picked up my menu as well. It was expensive on my salary, but since it was on him, I planned to try out something good. The waiter brought the wine, and Tevin sniffed a small amount that was poured into a glass, swirled it around, and then tasted it.
That's fine, he told the waiter, who then poured us both glasses.
The waiter set the remainder of the bottle down.
Would you like to order now, sir? Give us a few moments. We're still deciding.
He walked off, and I asked, if I'm not being too nosy, how much does cake bread cost?
Tevin shrugged. About 300 for the bottle?
I almost leapt out of my seat. 300 for something to sip on?
He chuckled and pointed at my glass. Aren't you even going to taste it?
I took a sip of the wine, and I had to admit, it's amazing.
You're amazing. Tevin gazed into my eyes. I'll only hope that you one day realize that, or realize that again.
What do you mean by that?
You're so busy trying to construct walls around something so special that needs to be exposed to the world. There is a vulnerability in you that you refuse to set free. You believe that every man is going to use, hurt, or abuse you in some way. Not all men are alike.
So you keep saying.
I keep saying it because it's the truth.
He paused and drank some more wine.
Chemistry, why do you think that you're not worthy of being loved? Truly loved by a man who desires the same thing as you.
My only desire is to live my life, drama and disease free. I want to keep working hard, prove myself, and move up to a higher position in the school system. I've only been a principal for a few years. But I truly believe that I can become superintendent one day. If not here in D.C., then possibly in one of the local suburbs in Maryland or Virginia. Even if I have to relocate across the country to realize my dream, I will. That's another reason why I don't need to be tied down.
It's not about someone tying you down. It's about someone lifting you up even further than you already are.
You do realize we met last night, right? I asked jokingly.
I go after what I want.
I blushed. But you don't even know me like that. Tevin, you're a tall, handsome surgeon. I'm quite sure that women fall all over you wherever you go. You have this commanding presence, and even in the brief amount of time since we've met, I've seen how women stare at you.
I looked around the room.
Even in here.
So that means that I have to entertain them because they look?
No, but...
Men look at you as well.
I looked at you when you were on that stage last night, pouring out all your emotions.
You want to be loved, Chemistry, and I want to be loved. We both want the same thing. So I say that we mark that as our goal and make a roadmap to get there. This man has rendered me speechless. I cleared my throat, drank some wine, and concentrated on the menu. He was determined to turn this into some kind of fairy tale, and I was going to fight it tooth and nail. I realized that nothing was holding me there, and I could have gotten up and walked out. But there was no way that I could do something mean like that to a man who had shown me nothing but attention and kindness thus far. It's only a matter of time before he fucks up and gives me an excuse to stop speaking to him. Dinner was fantastic. I had the fried red chili calamari as an appetizer and the stuffed shrimp with pasta as my entree. Tevin had the jumbo lump crab cake for an appetizer and the Greek branzino for his main meal. That wine was all up in my head, so I passed on the chocolate chip cheesecake, even though it looked delicious. The conversation had remained deep but interesting. Tevin opened up to me about his past relationships. He had been married before, but everything fell apart when his wife had her third miscarriage. He said the pain had become too much for both of them. She had shut down emotionally, and it eventually led to a divorce. When he said that, I was wondering why he would want to become involved with another woman who was already emotionally shut down. Me. They had attempted counseling. He had taken her on a series of Caribbean vacations to try to get the spark back, but nothing had worked. One thing that I could ascertain clearly was that he had loved her with all his heart. That made me jealous, and I could not help but wonder if I could ever replace her. Then again, I should not have even been contemplating all of that. I was going to refuse to fall for him. "Thanks again for dinner," I said as Tevin walked me to my SUV. I had lucked out and found a space a couple of blocks away. They offered valet parking, but if I could ever find a space in D.C., I grabbed it. "You're very welcome." He came up behind me and put his hands on my shoulders. "When can I see you again?" I hit the key fob to unlock the doors, then turned to look up at him. "I'm going to be busy for the next couple of days. Can I give you a call?" His eyebrows scrunched up. "Are you really going to call me?" "Yes, I am." I had no idea whether I was lying or not. "You're a great guy, so we can hang out again."
"I told you before, I'm not trying to hang out with you. I'm trying to fall in love with you."
I laughed uncomfortably. "You are something else."
"Give me a hug."
I embraced him and scared myself because I hugged his waist tighter than I had hugged anyone in years, even the men that I had been fucking. His chest was like an iron vest, and I could feel his dick against my midriff. Even soft, I could tell he was packing a big gun. He kissed the top of my head.
"You smell so good."
"So do you," I replied, telling nothing but the truth. Then he went and did it. He gave me a French kiss that I felt from my scalp to the tips of my toes. Kissing was too personal. Sucking dick was an act. Kissing meant a true connection. His thick tongue explored my mouth and I explored back. Our kiss lasted a good 2 minutes, and then Tevin sucked on my bottom lip, and I felt it in my pussy. A lot of people don't realize that sucking on a woman's bottom lip can cause that reaction. It's something about pressure points, and there's some kind of anatomical correlation.
"I have to go."
I pulled away from him and climbed into the driver's seat. "I'll text you to let you know that I got home okay." He placed his hand over his heart, feigning a heart attack.
"Did you just say that you're going to text me?"
I couldn't admit that I was too scared to talk to him anymore that night. The last thing that I needed was to end up lying in my bed having some kind of whimsical conversation into the morning.
It would lead to me fantasizing about him, masturbating, thinking about him, and that would be the beginning of the end. That was how it always went in the past. I would get caught up, start believing the hype, fall in love, and then get dogged out by various breeds of men. It will be a quick text saying that I got there. I was about to close my door when he held it open.
One last question.
Sure.
I'll be honest enough to admit that I was last intimate with a woman a few months ago. It was nothing serious and I couldn't see it progressing to anything real, so I stopped seeing her.
You don't have to ex-
No, I want to be honest. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. I'm a busy man, so I'm not out here picking up random women and trying to get them into bed. When I was younger, sure, I thought a lot with my dick, but that's not where I am now. I don't want another girlfriend. I can get another girlfriend any place. I want something that lasts.
Well, at least you know what you want.
Yeah, there are too many diseases and too much foolishness out there, especially in D.C., since there is a shortage of available men. I'm not trying to get caught up in that funnel cloud.
He paused and stared at me.
So, when was the last time you were intimate with a man?
About 3 hours ago, I thought. I definitely couldn't tell him the truth. The man had dropped nearly $500 on dinner and was telling me how he considered me to be wifey material.
It's been a while, and I'm definitely not seeing anyone else.
Good, good. Then that gives me a fair chance to get to know you without competing for your time and attention.
He leaned in and kissed me on the cheek.
I'll be waiting for your text.
He winked as he closed the door. He stood there and waited for me to pull away before he started walking back up the block. I drove home in silence, no radio on. I was sure that if Winsome were doing the do, she would either be in her bedroom or someplace else. The next morning, I was going to look online for sofas that I liked and that she could afford. I planned to be chilling out in the living room watching my favorite shows on my DVR within the next few days. Chapter 7. Trust is such a huge word. It either makes something or destroys it. Unknown. A few weeks passed, and I was still torn and confused, and sounding like one of those insecure women with low self-esteem who write into advice columns to figure out something that is common sense. Tevin still had not given me any reason to distrust him, and believe me, I was searching for one. He seemed like a perfect man, and we all know that true perfection does not exist. Everyone has flaws, damn it. Where were his? We had been on several dates, and no, he didn't force me to go. Every time I considered sending his calls to voicemail or blocking him altogether, I couldn't justify it. Plus, I really did think that he was the bomb.com. What I appreciated about him was that once I had said something about text messaging, he had made it a point to show me attention either in person or via phone. He had never asked me for my email address or asked to connect with me on a social network. In an age when so many people communicate virally, it was a welcomed change. I had Facebook and Twitter accounts, but I rarely posted anything at all. I was not about to risk my livelihood over posting some foolishness online. Several teachers and principals had failed to recognize that and were fired. They should have been the main ones avoiding doing it, considering that students were getting suspended or expelled for cyberbullying daily. Added to that tragedy was the fact that many of my seniors over the years had lost full-ride scholarships over trying to pretend to be baby gangsters on their pages. Posting themselves smoking weed, holding guns, or even talking crazy and making idle threats had cost many of them their futures. Some of them came from very good homes, and their parents,
single or married, had struggled to provide them with a stable environment, had attended every PTA meeting and parent-teacher conference, had made sure they completed their homework and that they were attending school. It was truly sad to have to explain to them that all of it was for nothing, that they would have to send their kids to community college instead of driving them to a major university that had previously offered them close to 200 grand in scholarship money. So no, hell no, I was not about to get caught up like that, especially since I was so opinionated, like all Virgos. I could envision how it all would have gone down. I would have run across something that pissed me off in my newsfeed and ended up in a debate. The only reason I had the accounts was to go on and attempt to prevent some of my staff and students from going too far. I would often pull kids into my office and tell them to take things down before they ruined all of their opportunities. I also had my four guidance counselors constantly on the prowl. The internet was a powerful tool for gaining knowledge, following world news, and cutting down on having to fax and send important things via snail mail, but it was also a curse for many who could not control themselves and wanted to capture their 15 minutes of fame. That was proven by the fact that the African-American site with the most web traffic at the time was World Star Hip Hop, where people sent in videos of people acting a fool, and millions of people watched them daily. A lot of them ended up facing charges in jail time behind those videos, especially the parents who taped themselves whipping their children with belts or electrical cords because they had been twerking on YouTube. Instead of punishing them in a responsible way in private, they decided to post a retaliation video of them practically maiming their own offspring to prove a point. Many of them were now proving that point on lockdown while their kids were still twerking and doing them, but with the added malice toward their parents. There was always drama at Megar Evers High School. On this particular day, it came in the form of Uniqua Mays, mother of Brian Mays, a junior who had maintained a good GPA all throughout school and was looking forward to applying to Morehouse College in Atlanta in the fall of his senior year. "Miss Mays, how can I help you today?" I asked as she sat across from me in an outfit that looked like she had just finished working the pole at the Stadium Club off New York Avenue. "Mrs. Parker said you have some concerns about Brian." I scanned through his school records. "His midterm report card has him making honor roll yet again."
"You damn right my boo is making honor roll."
I wasn't going to have a lot of patience with her. She already had a fucked up attitude. She was glaring at me like she wanted to jump me, and I was not that chick. I wanted to ask her what kind of mother calls her son boo, but it was a waste of time. Unfortunately, a lot of single mothers acted like their sons were their men instead of their children. All of that led to them trying to run young women away from them, fearing them leaving the nest and leaving them abandoned. The sons either ignored them altogether or allowed the mothers to completely emasculate them. Brian planned to get the hell away from her, and now I could see why. "So what seems to be the problem then?" I asked, trying to maintain some composure.
"I want him moved to another math class."
I glanced down at Brian's records again.
"He currently has an A in AP Algebra. Mr. Atkins is one of our best instructors, and Brian seems to be..."
"Mr. Atkins is a fag, and ain't no fag going to be teaching my son."
She sat up on the edge of the chair and grasped her fake designer handbag tighter.
"Men like him should not be allowed around young boys."
"Oh yes, I'm about to be tested today," I thought. "Miss Mays, I would appreciate it if you would not use such a nasty and disrespectful term like fag around me. That is very hurtful and inappropriate."
"What the fuck ever? Is homosexual better?"
I could feel my blood pressure rising. "Yes, that is better, but your delivery is still full of implications. But to address your main point, Mr. Atkins is an excellent teacher, and Brian will remain in his class."
So you just gonna sit back and watch that man molest my son and other people's sons?
I sighed. Mr. Atkins has been teaching in D.C. public schools for more than 20 years, and there has never been a single complaint or accusation lodged against him about doing anything inappropriate with a student. You will not come in here and slander his name, nor accuse me of any type of conspiracy to molest children.
Well, that's exactly what the fuck I am doing, bitch.
It took every ounce of restraint in me not to get up, walk around my desk, and try to knock her block off. You will not address me in that tone. I stood up and walked to the door, then opened it. You need to leave my office, not now, but right now. She stood up and brushed up close to me.
You're the principal. You're supposed to be in charge.
I am in charge, and I addressed your concern. Brian is not being moved, and I will not have any further discussions with you about Mr. Atkins' sexual preference. It is none of your business, and it is none of mine. If you would like to discuss the matter any further, you can contact the school superintendent. You can be his fucking problem, I thought. She smacked her gums and rolled her eyes, then sashayed out. I could smell her pussy as the draft from the outer office door hit it. Either she had just crawled up out of some funky dick's bed, or she hadn't washed in days. Yet she was worried about Virgil Atkins, who had been in a loving, committed, same-sex relationship for nearly 30 years. Lilybeth looked on as I stood there fuming. I considered alerting security for a moment, glad she's gone. She needs to get a life. Lilybeth giggled. What's so funny?
Nothing. It's just the way that you use the teen terminology sometimes. You know they get all of that from the internet and reality shows.
I'm sure. My real life is a reality show, so no time to watch someone else's drama. But listening to a gaggle of kids daily roaming the halls talking like that rubs off on a sister. She and I shared a laugh.
Do you think she'll be back? Lilybeth asked.
I doubt it. She'll talk junk about me, tell Brian that she's going to go over my head and get me fired, and then drop it once she realizes that she can't run this school. She acts stupid, but she's not dumb. She probably just discovered that Mr. Atkins is with another man and freaked out. She tried me and failed and knows her issues won't hold any muster. Still, it's no excuse for her behavior.
Brian seems like a great kid.
He is, and he's going to be fine. He's done well in spite of his mother's attitude. I'm sure she means well and only wants the best for him. But everyone's not cut out for parenting. We both know that from experience.
Lilybeth was nodding in agreement when a delivery man walked in with another vase of roses for me.
He must really like you, Lilybeth said. Roses every week?
What did you say his name is again?
I laughed. I never told you his name.
I signed for the flowers.
Since you're dying to know, his name is Tevin Harris. Dr. Tevin Harris.
Oh, a doctor? What kind?
A vascular surgeon.
It felt like I was bragging about a man that I was not prepared to claim. Not a good look.
When do we all get to meet him?
Lilybeth, I am not in a relationship, so there's no reason for you to meet him.
Why can't he come up here and have lunch with you one day?
In the teacher's lounge? Not going to happen, I giggled. Besides, he's so fine that I would have to beat Miss Landry and Miss Jacobs off of him.
It would make for an interesting afternoon. If I wasn't married, I might have to throw my head into the ring.
Yeah, right. Your husband cherishes you. We all know that.
Lilybeth blushed.
He does indeed. And he brings me lunch twice a week. You should have Dr. Harris do the same.
A, the man is a surgeon and has no time to bring me lunch. And B, you snatched up a good man when good men still existed. My generation and the generations after us are screwed. Men only want to play a bunch of games.
Not that I know much about your business chemistry, but can I offer you a little motherly advice? being that I am old enough to be your mother.
I didn't respond, but I'm sure she read the curiosity on my face.
Don't push a good man away trying to prove a point that you can have a cold heart. We've shared a few things, and I understand that you've been hurt in the past, but most women have been. Most men have been as well, truth be told. It doesn't mean you have to become some kind of stone statue for the rest of your life.
It doesn't mean that I have to become some kind of sacrificial lamb and breakdance into the slaughterhouse either.
Is that what you really think about love? Taking a chance? Baby girl, you are an amazing woman and you deserve to be happy. Give it a shot. You cannot win a race until you get in it.
I took the vase of flowers, went into my office, and closed the door as Lilybeth turned back to her computer screen. She had a point, and she and I both realized it. I removed the card and read it.
Gemistry, I hope your day is going well and that you'll consider going away with me this weekend. I want to spend some time alone in isolation with you. No pressure, just good conversation and exploring life together. Call me, Tevin.
I read the card at least a dozen more times that afternoon, wavering in my decision to take him up on his offer or refuse. Tevin definitely didn't give off the kind of vibe that he would force me to have sex. In all honesty, I was more worried about being able to control myself. Taking what we were doing to a sexual level meant catching feelings. I would not be able to disconnect myself emotionally like I did with Anthony and Gregory, the other dude that I had been sleeping with on and off for about a year. I had not gone to be with either of them since the last time with Anthony, when I started feeling guilty.
What was there to really be afraid of? If I got officially involved with Tevin and it did not work out, it was not like the entire world would know it. It wasn't like it would end up in a book or anything ridiculous like that.
Outside of Winsome and Lilybeth knowing that Tevin had run a game on me like every man prior to him, no one would have to know. Up to that point, Tevin and I had only shared kisses. Many, many awesome kisses. One time, I even had an orgasm, and it scared me. I had never had an orgasm from a kiss, which made me petrified about what he might do to me with his dick. There was a cold, hard truth staring me in the face that could no longer be ignored. I wanted him.
Chapter 8. True love isn't easy, but it must be fought for, because once you find it, it can never be replaced. Unknown. Winsome and I were walking out of the Regal Theaters at Gallery Place. She was shaking her head in disbelief.
If I had known that was what the movie was about, I wouldn't have come.
I heard that it was going to be sad, but I wasn't quite ready for all that either. We had gone to see Fruitvale Station, based on the true story of Oscar Grant III, a 22-year-old Bay Area resident who was shot and killed by BART police on New Year's Day in 2009. That entire cast was amazing, I added. If that movie isn't nominated for the Academy Awards, something is wrong.
I haven't cried in a movie since I can remember. I felt that mother's pain, and I'm not even a mother.
Well, one of us better hurry up and have a baby before our pussies dry up, I said jokingly. It would be good to have at least one kid around.
Gemistry, you're around kids day in and day out.
They're teenagers, not the same thing. Most of them had to grow up so fast that they could damn near hang out with us. We both laughed.
I'm not cooking, so want to grab something to eat? Winsome asked.
Lazy ass, it's your turn to cook.
Exactly, and that's why I'm saying that I'm not doing it.
You'd better either grab something on the way home, eat that Greek yogurt in the fridge that expired last week, or starve. I slapped her playfully on the arm.
Let's go pick out somewhere and then go to the gym and ditch the calories.
Sounds like a plan.
We decided on Five Guys. Cheap, quick, greasy, and fattening. If we were going in, we might as well go in all the way. We grabbed a table with high stools and started digging in like two hungry 300-pound men.
I'm starving. I skipped lunch today, I said, trying to make an excuse for gorging myself, even though Winsome was doing the same.
I had a big-ass lunch, but this food is my guilty pleasure. A sliver of greasy fried onion fell down into the center of her breast, and she ignored it.
This shit is so good. Aren't you going to dig that out?
Dig what out?
That piece of onion that fell between your tits?
Winsome took a sip of her Coke through a straw.
I'm not digging in my tatas in front of all these people.
The place was crowded for a Thursday night, but no one probably would have noticed.
That's nasty. I handed her a napkin. Take that out.
Gemistry, listen. You have your etiquette rules, and I have mine. We both have some nice racks, and food will topple down there every now and then. I'm not going to draw attention to being clumsy with food by digging shit out in public. I wait until I go to the restroom, get home, or at least get in my car to do all that.
If you want to yank your tits apart, clear out your bra, and do maintenance, do you.
I fell out laughing and threw the longest fry that I could find in my collection at her face.
You're so childish, she exclaimed.
No, childish would have been aiming for the cavern between your tits and letting it keep that poor piece of onion company while your nasty ass leaves it down there suffering.
You are completely shot out, Gemistry, shot out and sprung.
I took a bite of another fry.
I'm not sprung, you're tripping.
I saw Tevin dropping you off the other night. Why didn't you invite him up?
Child, boo. Invite him up and have him walk in on you butt-ass naked doing a man, a woman, or both? I don't even think so.
You still rubbing that shit up in my face after all this time? You have a new sofa, and I even threw in some new end tables and an entertainment center. Yet you're still flapping your gums?
That's because the visual is still implanted in my memory. It was traumatic.
Chick, please. As much porn as you have watched in your lifetime, that shit was minor.
Stop acting all innocent like you don't get down. You still fucking Anthony and Gregory while Tevin is still sweating your drawers?
Not that it is any of your business since I never fuck in front of you, but no, I am not.
Winsome grabbed at her throat. You gave up your side dick action for Tevin?
Damn! He must be blowing that back out.
Winsome started moving her hips and ass back and forth on the seat and moving her arms in the air like she was fucking.
Interesting. You're worried about someone seeing you dig a piece of onion out your tits, but you'll yell out about dick and make fucking motions on a chair up in this Mickey.
Damn! Winsome reached down in her boobs, took the piece of onion out, and tossed it on the table.
Now I have set the motherfucking onion free, but back to what I was saying. Is the dick good?
I haven't a clue. We've only kissed.
Winsome rubbed her hands together and squinted at me.
What's that look for? I asked.
I'm happy for you. It's been a long time since I've seen you like this.
Like what?
Contemplating the possibilities, treating a man with basic human kindness instead of like a wildebeest, not drowning all your pent-up emotions in your career and using men for sex in some kind of twisted protect mode.
Winsome, if that is not the pot calling the kettle black, who are you to say that about me when you refuse to commit to anyone either?
It's different for me. I'm bisexual.
That's some straight bullshit. You want to sit here and pretend like I don't remember you being in love before. You were crazy about Cynthia, and now you want to act like it never happened.
At least I'm willing to admit to my fucked up toxic relationships.
Winsome finished off the last bite of her burger.
Cynthia was a great gal, and yes, I felt like we had something that could have lasted a lifetime. But it didn't even make it to year 5. You win some, you lose some.
I laughed.
I hate when you do that with your name, win some and lose some, whatever.
You loved her and she loved you, and it all ended over trifling behavior that could have been avoided altogether.
You like women and you deal with men to try to act like it's not the truth.
I like men too. Did you see the way I was sucking Dominic's dick like it was a slab of baby back ribs?
I tossed my burger down. I've lost my appetite.
Even though I've seen a lot of people having sex, I'm not trying to see you having sex. You're my friend, my best friend, and I could have done without all that.
Stop acting like I molested you or something.
Winsome ran her hands through her shoulder-length locks.
Okay, I will admit that I prefer women, but you're wrong if you think that I'm not into men. The issue is that most lesbians avoid sisters who are bisexual because they assume we'll cheat. But if I ever do commit to someone again, male or female, I won't be stepping out like that.
I realize that. You're not the type. We both have been disconnecting emotionally from our lovers in an effort to prevent being hurt. I'm a work in progress, and I had an epiphany earlier today to that effect.
What epiphany?
Tevin asked me to go away with him this weekend.
And
I'm considering it.
Since it's Thursday night, I'm assuming you need to stop considering it and make a decision. If I have sex with him, I might fuck around and fall in love with him. I've been doing so good at disconnecting my emotions from sex, but this is different. He's different.
That's a profound ass statement coming from you. She paused and stared at me.
What would be so wrong with that? You deserve love. We both deserve love. And you got one thing right. We both have to stop trying to orchestrate our own inevitable fate. Neither one of us is getting any younger. Shit. We're practically middle-aged. AARP is right around the corner.
We both giggled.
If either one of us is going to have kids, we have to start making moves, exploring options, and most importantly, let our defense mechanisms down.
True enough.
It's obvious that you're feeling Tevin. Go away with him and let him prove how much he is feeling you. And if it leads to sex, then so be it. You're a grown-ass woman and he's a grown-ass man.
So if I give Tevin a chance, you'll give someone a chance to actually be with you? Like actually date?
Why does it have to be a tit-for-tat situation? Sure, there are some people who've tried to actually get at me, but I'm not feeling any of them like that. However, I will start being more approachable and see what happens. Cool?
Cool.
You already have your low-hanging fruit, so call him and tell him that you're going.
Right now?
No, next week. Yes, right damn now.
If I do this, you realize everything is going to change.
Winsome nodded.
All good changes.
All good up and until something happens and he breaks my heart.
You're assuming that something negative is going to happen.
It's inevitable.
So why do it then?
Because you said I should do it.
I said you should do it because you want to do it.
I closed my eyes and contemplated my next move.
What are you doing, praying?
Winsome asked. No, but I need to be. I was thinking about how much ice cream and chocolate we need to stock up on so that when I get hurt, I don't have to run out to the store.
Speaking of fattening shit,
Winsome looked at the time on her cell phone.
It's 9:30 and the gym closes at 11. We need to get moving. I'm not going to sleep with all this grease in my stomach so my ass will feel like lead in the morning.
We gathered our trash to throw it away. Winsome reached over and took mine. I'll throw this away. It's loud in here. Go outside and call Tevin and ask him what time you need to be ready tomorrow.
I grinned. Okay.
And also tell him that he has to meet me tomorrow to get my approval before he takes you out of town. I'm sick of only seeing him from the window.
Yes, Mother.
Winsome headed toward the trash receptacle while I went outside on the pavement to call Tevin and accept his offer. It was time for me to take a chance. Chapter 9. One day, someone will walk into your life and make you see why it never worked out with anyone else. Unknown.
This view is breathtaking, I exclaimed, trying to catch my breath.
Tevin had taken me to Shenandoah National Park to go hiking, and we were on the Appalachian Trail at the panorama.
It's great how you can see everything for miles from here.
And in every direction, Tevin added. So, do you like hiking?
I looked up into his almond eyes. I do now, but this is honestly my first time.
Tevin chuckled. Your first time? Why did you agree then?
I shrugged. Why not agree? At some point, everything is someone's first time. Good thing that I've been going to the gym on the regular, or I wouldn't have been able to hang.
He looked me up and down. I had on all kinds of hiking gear that I had rushed to purchase at Arundel Mills Mall the second he had told me the plans.
In addition to the clothes, I had utilized Google to find out what essentials I needed for hiking.
You had all of that in your closet already? He asked.
No, not at all, but I like to be prepared.
I did my research, and once I found out that this park was 500 miles of trails, more than 100 of them being the Appalachian Trail, I wanted to make sure that if we got lost, we're covered. Tevin was carrying my heavy-ass backpack for me. He set it down on the ground.
What's in here?
Let me see. I looked upward while I tried to recite the list of everything tucked inside. The essential list is a map, a compass, a flashlight, eye protection, extra food, extra clothes, a first aid kit, a pocket knife, waterproof matches, a fire starter, water bottles, a whistle, insect repellent, and sunscreen.
Tevin chuckled. Are you serious? We're only out here for a few hours. I rented us a yurt.
What the hell is a yurt?
Ah, something that the school principal with a thirst for knowledge doesn't know already. I'm shocked, he joked.
You should have told me so I could look it up.
Tevin didn't understand how upset I was that I didn't know what a yurt was. I didn't like it one bit.
So what is a yurt? Is it a tent or some kind of pop-up shelter? I paused. We're not going to sleep near bears, are we?
Tevin took my hand, lifted it, and kissed it. I'm the only bear you have to worry about. A yurt is a round cabin. I finally exhaled.
Whew, I'm so relieved.
Well, yes, you can relax. Actually, the yurt has a stainless steel kitchen, 2 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, a stone fireplace, a living room, and an outdoor deck and grill.
That sounds lovely.
Not as lovely as you.
He was still holding my hand and pulled me closer to him so that he could kiss me. Boy, did he plant one on. It wasn't even cold outside, but I was trembling. He broke the kiss and stared right into my eyes. I love you, Gemistry. My mouth fell open. I wasn't prepared for that. Not at all.
I love you, and you don't have to respond. I don't want you to tell me until you mean it.
He let me go and picked the backpack up.
I'm a confident man, and I can see it in your eyes. You're falling for me. Hard.
He started walking down the hill.
We need to get back before dark.
He paused and looked back at me.
I was planted in place.
You coming, or you need me to leave this survival backpack for you so the flashlight and matches can help you fight off bears? I snapped out of it. I had been joking about the bears, but we were in the middle of the wilderness.
Oh my goodness, they do have bears out here, you know.
Yeah, I know, and I'm prepared.
Tevin pulled a handgun out of his jacket pocket.
This is how I fight off bears and anyone or anything else.
I giggled. That definitely works. I started walking so we could head back down toward his car, about 3 miles away.
You weren't kidding about spending time in isolation, but I'm having fun.
When I caught up to him, he took my hand.
That's a good thing.
We got settled into the yurt, which was nicer inside than just about any hotel room or suite that I had stayed in, ever. The rental community was in Gordonsville, Virginia, and they had it all. Cabins, lodge rooms, a manor house, campsites, RV sites, chalets, and yurts. They had all kinds of activities as well. Basketball, billiards, a gym, horse-drawn carriages, miniature golf, and a lake to go fishing. Tevin had found a small local grocery store where we purchased everything necessary to grill hamburgers and hot dogs, as well as some food for breakfast the next morning. He turned out to be a great cook. He had asked me to come over to his house for dinner on numerous occasions, but I had avoided it. I didn't want to put myself in a situation where I would be tempted to sleep with him. All of that was about to change. I was prepared to go all in with him to see what could actually become of it. But it would be a challenge, and I wanted him to know that. I could no longer convince myself that a friends with benefits situation would work with him. We had spent way too much quality time together, and I cared about him too much to disconnect from my emotions. These burgers are banging! I took another bite of mine as Tevin cut off the grill. Where did you learn to cook like this?
My mother taught me how to cook. By 10, I was cooking dinner 3 times a week.
He sat down across from me at the picnic table on the deck.
You probably thought I was lying when I said that I could burn.
No, I took it more literally, like you were burning food and jacking it up.
We both laughed.
You haven't told me much about your parents. Are they still living?
Yes, they both are. Again, sorry to hear about the loss of yours.
I looked down at my plate, trying to avoid eye contact and to prevent myself from tearing up. It is what it is. Sure, it would be nice to still have my parents in my life, but I'm not going to throw a pity party. There are many, many people in worse situations than me. I have a couple of degrees, a career that I am passionate about, and... Tevin was waiting for me to finish my sentence. When I continued to hesitate, he asked, "And what?"
"And a man who loves me." He grinned. "Yes, you definitely have that."
We stared at each other for a moment. He had told me not to reciprocate what he said until I meant it, so I would not. But my feelings for him ran deep. I could not call it being in love quite yet, though.
Tell me more about your parents.
Well, they're divorced, but they only took that step after all of us were grown. I have 2 sisters. One lives in New Jersey, and she owns a few retail stores. My other sister lives in Florida, and she's a dentist. Mom lives down in Florida near Alexis, and my father lives in Sweden.
Sweden?
Yes, my father is a vascular surgeon as well. I got it honest. He decided that he wanted to move out of the country after the divorce because he needed a change.
That's one hell of a change.
Indeed. He loves it, though. He learned their language, moved over there, and landed a position at Karolinska University Hospital in Stockholm. He comes back 3 or 4 times a year to visit the States.
I've always found it intriguing when people take such a leap of faith. Moving to another country is not a simple undertaking.
Tevin laughed as he took a sip of his beer.
What's so funny?
It's just that
For a woman who has such a thirst for knowledge, I'm surprised you have that outlook.
What outlook?
Thinking that it seems like a massive undertaking to move to another country. Then again, a lot of us Americans have that same view. It seems more strenuous or